Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. The healers of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now draw. God in its heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While he warned of the danger that lie in their path, but be not his mercy when the kingdom of God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't draw. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't draw. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. What a beautiful thought I am thinking concerning the great speckled bird. Remember her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. All the other birds they wing around her as she divines by a squaw. But the great speckled bird in the Bible is one with the great church of God. All the other churches are against her. They envy her glory and fame. They hate her because she is chosen and has not denied Jesus' name. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch every move that she makes. They long to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. She is spreading her wings for a journey. She's going to leave by and by. When the trumpet shall sound in the morning, she will rise and go up in the sky, in the presence of all her despisers, with a song never uttered before, she will rise and be gone in a moment, till the great tribulation is over. I am glad I have learned of her meekness. I am proud that my name is on her book. For I want to be one, never fearing the face of my Savior to look. When he cometh descending from heaven, on the cloud that he rides in his word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird.
Kind of runs in line with everything we're saying here, you know, with the churches out there, you know.
That's
they're
right.
Really not, they're not churches anymore, they're just a name. Church a name only. They've been, Laodicea has been spewed out. Once something is spewed out, it's just, it's no good. It's, that's what those churches are out there. Denominationalism. It's just the way it is. Just, as time goes on, you know, things evolve.
And it becomes more clear.
Yeah.
Like it's, like especially now that the Laodicea church is over, things is going to become more clear and clearer what it's all been about. It, that song is based on Jeremiah 12, verse 9. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. That's what's going to happen to when the end is going to be, when Babylon is going to be judged, and they come up against the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and they come up against there at Armageddon, and then there's going to be a slaughter. Then it's going to call for all the fowls of the air to come and have a feast for all the dead carcasses that will lay, that have come against the Most High. And that's really basically what the scripture is based off, that song.
Yeah, that's interesting. When you watch Europe now, you know, with this Russia thing and America, and now they're meeting, I think today, they're going to try to see if they can hatch out a deal with Europe to try to kind of make stop that war there in Ukraine. And what all it is, you know, it's been written before the foundation of the world how this thing is going to go over there. But see, they don't know that behind it the word of God is being fulfilled. Europe. Trump wants to make peace, you know. He doesn't want his wars. And Europe, they love wars. They love their warmongers like that. Like up till now, the Democrats and the Uniparty, they were just making wars all over the world. In Vietnam and then over there in Iran and Iraq and all over the place, they're making war. That's just the way that that beast, it's behind it is that beast that and it's the spirit of Satan. Satan, he loves his killing and his war. And Trump, he's trying to make peace with everybody. Now, like I said today, they're meeting down there. And they're going to try to hatch up some kind of a deal. But at the end of the day, Europe is going to have her way. And Trump's not going to have... He'll probably have to pull out of Europe completely. Because these two can't mix.
Well, when you take it to the scripture in Revelation, it says in Revelation 17:12, and the 10 hordes which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. See, these people don't really want to be do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Those countries like, let's say, Germany and France and these. But see, they're driven. You have to realize That there's that scarlet colored beast that is in Revelation. And there's one that's riding it, and that's that great whore. That Vatican.
The Pope.
Yeah,
Vatican.
The Vatican that is running the whole show. You see, that's, you have to put it into its perspective. And the real perspective is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And those are being driven by that whore to do what they're doing. See, in the end, they get rid of her because they really don't want to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're controlled by that beast system to fulfill, I guess, in the end, it's really to fulfill the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And its purpose that it will be judged. It will come together. And when it's all done, it's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, that system. That's not going to be no more to afflict humanity after that.
Amen to that. You and I, that we're just here going via the Word of God. There's wars, there's rumors of wars, and if you put the news on, you can see what exactly what, you know, you kind of lose your way, but see, you and I, we have stood with that Word, and that Word has been our guiding light throughout, when we look back throughout the grace age. It has, we've tried our level best to set out a platform to show people what's been going on and what Jesus said back in the day. This is eternal life. This is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them whom I will send. And see, outside of those seven stars, it's all Satan controlled. You know what I'm saying? And back coming up through the dark ages, that Roman Catholic system, it was controlling the world. And the real people, the real Christians, they had to go underground. They had to be burnt at the stake, and they had to be persecuted and terrorized, just like they still are today. If you're a real born-again Christian, that whole religious apparatus, it's going to have no part of you. They're going to kick you out. That's why you and I were being kicked out back in the day. And now that whole religious apparatus has been spewed out. Laodicea has absolutely no value whatsoever. I'm going to read you here something. And sometimes I just mention it, but I feel inclined to move to read it. We're coming to the church age of Laodicea. It's in Revelation 3, in Revelation 3, 14, I'll read the whole thing because this is what it's about. We're living in a church age of Laodicea. All the other six churches, they've gone. Now we're in the seventh. We're in the last one. We're at the time of the coming of the Lord. We're right at the edge of the culmination of all things. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, saith Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is who you're dealing with. You're dealing with that positive power out there.
Amen.
The beginning of the creation of God. Well, outside of God, it's all going into the lake of fire, and it's going to be destroyed, and it's going to be no sign of it as time goes on. There will be no sign of evil on this end of the universe. And here, you're dealing with a witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And who is the beginning? It was all created out there. This whole thing you see, all the angels, everything you see was created because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's gonna, someday he's gonna, that's his kingdom, and he's gonna rule over that. So you're not talking to some fly, this is not some fly by night talk. This is the one that sets everything in motion. It's just the beginning of the creation of God. And he knows everything that's going on because I know thy works. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, that's the church world out there, back throughout the grace age, back throughout the church age of Laodicea. That's been going on for the last 100 years. They're saying, I am rich. Now, they have reached a height of such tremendous wealth, the church has had. They say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. I was in that thing. I was wretched. I was miserable. I was poor, blind, and naked. That's just the condition of Laodicea. That's no use trying to butter it up and dress it up and pretend it's good. It's putrid. It's the stench in the eyes of God, because once you spew something out, you don't go pick it up again. It's done. It's done, spewed out, period. It's over, done with. Laodicea is done. That whole church apparatus up there, the John Hagee's, the Joel Osteen, that whole religious apparatus, it's all spewed out. It's all going nowhere, because there's nothing there. The foundation of it is all Nicaea Rome. It's all Satan, Roman Catholicism. There's nothing there that's worth salvaging. It's spewed out. And then he says, I counsel of thee, gold. Now he's talking to the individual. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. See, there's no riches in material things. The riches is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That thou mayest be rich and wine raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. And we've been saying it over and over again. Anything outside of those seven stars, and we're living in the age of Laodicea, and we have an angel that spoke through the book, of course, of William Branham and Raymond M. Jackson. And now, that's what he says, I counsel of thee. I counsel of thee to listen to these people. Listen to their ministry, that apostolic and that prophetic ministry that's been given to us, and the church age of Laodicea. Outside of that, there's nothing there. You can see, like I say, once it's spewed out, it's spewed out. And we just face in reality. We're just saying things the way it needs to be said. We're telling people the truth. That's why we kind of like saying, give them the roses while they look. Give the people the truth for your day and hour, because outside, if we're not going to be speaking, it's not going to be said, because there's nobody that's going to say the thing that you and I have to say here, that we've been hauling out before the foundation to do the very thing that we're doing. We're opening the understanding of people, and we're telling exactly what's going on out there in the day and hour we're living in. Laodicea is history. The grace age is over as of October 15, 2021. Then that's history. That's done away with. But he still says, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You can still listen to the ministry of William Branham. You can still listen to the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. But see, what we're doing here, we're just holding a line on the things that we have been given, that we have been taught, and you can still come and get just away from all this church apparatus thing up there and come and believe what we're saying. Come and partake of the waters of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. Now, this here chapter is open for everybody. You messed up back there. You missed it all because of the leadership, because of these preachers deceiving you. And now here is only one message left. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. That's why it says in Revelation, whosoever will, let him come. It's open for everybody. And we're just trying to bring out the clarity of it all as this thing is being wrapped up, you know. Like I say, that old church apparatus, it's history. It's got no value whatsoever. The only thing that has value in the church age of Laodicea and where we are today is the ministry of these two, Minister Brother Brennan, because it all hinges back on that angel, on that seventh star. And like I say, we're back in the last one we were, but it's October 15, 2021. That's over. Now it's just the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and now that scripture is activated. Whosoever will, let him come and drink out of the waters of life freely. All this stuff is free. That's why the Lord had set it up. He's given us the finances that we don't charge nothing. Everything that we say and do is free for the taking, and it's something. It's just for you, anybody that believes what we're saying, to get out of this hell that's coming, out of this tribulation, out of this whatever's coming up the road here, where you wouldn't even wish your worst enemy. That's why we put this out for each and everybody that cares to listen. Whosoever one, let him come. Who has ever believed, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever hear, let him say, come. Now, everything is wide open. Come and partake of the waters of life. Really, in the waters of life is that invitation to the marriage supper of Lamb. I do not know what it all pertains to. But I know one thing, it's an exit route out of this hell that's coming. You can see how the wars and the rumors of wars and the things that's going on over in Israel and all the countries are up in arms and everything is like what's going on in Ukraine. People just, you see, up to 5,000 to 7,000 people killed every week. And we're just trying to warn people from what's coming here. It's coming, going to come all over the world and, we're just trying to warn them how to get out of this thing that's going to...
Mm-hmm. When people take it so lightly, like when you will read Revelations 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. That's who you're dealing with. That mighty angel that came down from heaven with a shout. That's what people don't realize. They take these things so lightly, what Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson brought. But behind it all was that mighty angel, mm-hmm. that position of authority. When you will see just the sovereignty of God, how he does things, he's a sovereign God. What he does is righteous, mm-hmm. and there is no wrong in him. It is all righteousness. That's why he's a sovereign God. Just imagine that now. A sovereign God. And then you see the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. He took what the enemy stole from humanity in the garden. He brought it all back. He bought it. The atonement was made. Mm-hmm. That only begotten Son that God had, he sacrificed there on the cross of Calvary to do what? To bring it all back to him, the whole plan of creation. Now you're dealing with here such magnificent power of authority and sovereignty that when that angel spoke to Brother Brenham, that was that mighty angel. Yes. You're dealing here with a supernatural power. You're not dealing with earthly wisdom here. You're dealing with a heavenly power of such authority and such sovereignty. And when these men spoke, now I'm not saying everything they said was thus saith the Lord, but I know the who was behind those mm-hmm. two men. And when people take away from what these men have said and have spoken, they are messing with that mighty angel that came down. And when people, like Brother Jackson, he didn't just one day decide this is what he's going to do. See, he had to learn a lot of things that he learned from his ministry. When he let people into his pulpit, there was, at first he learned from it, okay, I'll let this person in my pulpit. Then he realized what it creates. And he saw the outcome of having somebody in his pulpit that's teaching false. He realized what it brings with it. So now he realized, okay, this is not what I have to do. This is not something that God wants me to do. So he stopped letting people in his pulpit that have a different view of things. And then, see, that's how we learn, through experiences of what that sovereign God, what is right before him. And that, and then he started to learn, nobody in his pulpit that has a different view, because it creates a bad environment. And then he learned from that. You see, he built it upon the principles of God. And he learned the principles of God. And those are the principles that he stood by and built on. And when people come along and treat these things so lightly, that's who they're messing with, that mighty angel that was directing those two men. And what it then creates is a spirit of lawlessness. When you go against the principles of God that he has established, that he has established and worked into the life of those men and established, this is what God requires. This is not something that you just read out of a book. It's something that God starts working in your life on and building. Like when you become a Christian, you're very ignorant to the ways of God. But as he starts walking you through your journey, you learn from things. This is not the direction I need to go. I need to go this direction. And the Holy Spirit leads you. But you have to be sensitive to his leading. You can't just one day decide, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. You have to wait before him, sometimes years before you know the direction you'd have to go. And that's how these men have built it and given us these things that God has worked in their lives. And these are the things that we need to hold dear, because behind it is that mighty angel, that position of authority and power. And when people disregard this, what it introduces is a spirit of lawlessness. When you will consider a minor a form of lawlessness, you think of children, right? And when you let children get away with things, you create a rebellious child and a lawless child. And in the end, that child is going to commit some crime and they're going to end up in prison, right? So, because that's what it has created, a sense of lawlessness. And see, that's what that man of sin is all about, is totally introducing something that's anti-God. See, that's the spirit of lawlessness, when you do not follow the leadership and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, what he has established through the ministry of these men that he has put on this earth to fulfill the scriptures that are in the Bible for the Laodicea church hour.
Before Brother Jex went off the scene, I heard him say it. I seen him with my own eyes. He turned around and he said, there's nobody coming in this pulpit. I'm responsible for this pulpit. I'm responsible for who I let into this pulpit. It's God's pulpit and I'm responsible for it. That's and right. There's nobody coming in that pulpit. And he dealt with Tim McKay. And once he dealt with Tim McKay, he told him, you're not coming to this pulpit no more. Then he dealt with Ralph Strobe and he said, Ralph, you're not coming to this pulpit anymore. You can come and sit at the pews in the back, but you're not coming up to this pulpit to speak from this pulpit. That's not going on. And when he went off the scene and he left these trademarks, he left these solid statues. And then when Brother Jackson left the scene, he was hoping that, we were all hoping that Ellen and Bud are going to continue on with what what the rejection of leftists was. But after 3 years, we found out they're unfaithful. They come out, which we're the third day. Well, eventually there was that split. And the best thing that God could salvage out of Faith Assembly, all the 40 years that he preached, he could only find one person, that's Tim Rutherford. And he could not move on and start his movement of grace and truth unless Tim Rutherford voluntarily resigned from his position as song leader. I know I was there. I was coaching him all along. I was on the phone with him pretty much every day, and then finally called me up. He just handed in his resignation that he's done with Faith Assembly. And then the Lord used him to start up that work at Grace and Truth. And he wanted him to continue with the principles, with the precepts that Brother Jackson left us with. And then it was good there. He decided he's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to have every month, once a month, he's going to have one of those preachers come in, and they're going to have meetings every month, once a month. And that was the plan that God had for Alan and Bud. That's what the plan that God had back in the day when Brother Jackson was still here. Mm-hmm. But see, Brother Jackson, he's not a dictator. He just threw it out there to Alan and Bud, and they waiting for the feedback, but no feedback came. So that program kind of went into limbo and nothing happened. And then, like I say, when Alan and Bud came on the scene and Brother Jackson was off the scene, that's all he wanted from Alan and Bud, to continue with that same program. Just let these men from all around the world, these preachers, to come up to the pulpit. But see, they began to ostracize them all, and then God had to shut that whole Faith Assembly down. And then he started up with that work with Tim Rutherford. And there for a while, for a year or so, Tim Rutherford did good. And he brought these men in, and then they come out with after 2 days and all that stuff. And then what happened then is, then God gave Tim Rutherford a dream. He told me about it. I was in there. The Lord gave me a different job so I could be in church down there every week, sometimes even twice a week. Sometimes I was there Sunday and Thursday. And anyway, he told me about the dream he had. He saw somebody in his pulpit preaching that was contrary to what he believed. And he told me about the dream and said, you'll have to be careful who you let in your pulpit. You can't let people in your pulpit that has a different view. And finally, he lets these people in. He lets Davis in, knowing full well what they're teaching. And what happened then, the Lord took me out of Grace and Truth. And there for 6 months, I couldn't even go down there. Just simply because of that very fact that Tim Rutherford now, he lets these people in his pulpit after the Lord warned him, after Brother Jackson had given him a standard to live by, he lets these people in the pulpit knowing full well they're preaching contrary. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord picked me out because he didn't want me to be defiled with that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And then he preached a message, spiritually D&D. And then as soon as he preached that message, he said, how can I let you into this pulpit when I'm not in agreement with you? And he did good there for a while. And then guess what? The Lord opened the door again, and I was able to go down there, and then for about a year and a half. And then what happened then, the Lord saw the heart of Tim Rutherford. Mm-hmm. Because when Davis came out after 2 days, I called up Tim Rutherford. What are you going to do about that? You know that Davis is preaching, we're after 2 days. Yeah, I know about it. So what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just going to leave it alone. See, that's the biggest mistake that Tim Rutherford ever made in his entire life. Because now you see exactly what's happening down at Grace and Truth, simply because nothing. I'm just going to leave it alone. If you leave it alone, guess what happened? That's what you got down there. Now, I hear like on Sunday, he's letting in that Ralph Strowman, the one that Brother Jackson evicted. He's letting him in his pulpit to preach. It has become like back in the days of Israel, you know, when Antiochus offered a sow on the altar of Jerusalem, and they got these Maccabees so worked up that they had a war going on, simply mm-hmm. because of that very effect. And here he's doing the very thing that King Antiochus, he's letting a sow into the altar of Jerusalem, and now that whole altar is so defiled, there's nothing there, and the Lord just pulled out of there, because he saw it coming into fruition. And he took me out of there because he did not want me to define myself with that kind of a program.
No, it's very bad. If you can only envision the principles of God and what he requires. I see, these things, we don't like to talk about people. But in order to help people and to understand the ways of God and what he requires of us in this end time, to uphold the truth that has been given to us and in
principles.
It, and you have to realize the forces of darkness, the forces of evil that are out to destroy the very thing that God has given. They're always there. They're always invading, always pressing in. They're not pressing in at the bar. They're not pressing in at these denomination churches out there because the devil has everything wrapped up, but he is pressing in on the very living word of the Laodicea Church Hour, what God restored through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. You have to realize that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was being revealed through the ministry, and through it, the principles of God, the understanding of what God requires, who he is, who the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole position of authority and the majesty of God was being presented to this Laodicea age. And when people take it so lightly and just, there's an enemy pressing in. There is an enemy present. And that's what was happening there. And Tim Relaford was so unaware of what is happening that he let these people in his pulpit, and that whole thing is defiled.
Yeah.
And that's the very thing that Brother Jackson had to walk through to realize what God was wanting and what God required. That's the very thing he totally discarded and put aside. And there you see the fruits of it. It's going to evolve into a spirit of lawlessness. And because when you shove God's principle aside, his statutes, that makes you evolve into apostasy, into that spirit of lawlessness.
That's exactly what you see there. We're going to address it, but see, we've addressed it time and time again. And back in the day when it all started happening, I think we talked on it for 2-3 months on it. Every week and time again. It so grieved the Lord that he just could not let go. And it started that very day when Hefner came out with the so-called revelation that after 2 days, and then he gets kind of Davis contaminated, and then he gets Bobby Stewart contaminated, and then I heard about it. You told me about it, and I called up Tim. Did you know that Davis is preaching that we're after 2 days? Like I said before, he says, yeah. I said, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just going to leave it alone. I'll just let it fester, so to speak. It's like your garden. When we got this new job with Payne, we put the garden in, and then we went on it. Had to deliver a load, and we weren't back for three weeks. We weren't back. In the meantime, the garden was growing, and when we came back, it was all full of weeds. That's what happened when Tim said, when I asked, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I just want to leave it alone. And that's what happened. You had to go down on your hands and knees and pick up the weeds and everything. I could barely find what you put in there.
Can hardly believe that can happen.
Yeah, but overnight.
Like 3 weeks later, came back, and I went out to the garden, and I just could not believe what I was seeing. All weeds.
Yeah.
I really, like you said, I had to go down on my hands and knees and find whatever I could salvage from what I had planted.
See, we had no choice. They put us on a trip, and they wouldn't let us come back till 3 weeks. We had no choice. But here, Tim Ralph, he had a choice. What are you going to do with it? Nothing. He just voluntarily decided he's got good enough. He should have just shut him out right down then and there, called him up. You're not coming into this pulpit with that 2D idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cause, but avoid his life, because simply he wouldn't do nothing about it. He knew very well what's going on, and he still went up to fellowship with these 2D people, and
And I,
the whole thing is a mess.
I remember when I told you about how he's letting Davis into his pulpit, and you said to me, and that was in 20, I would say maybe 2012, or even before that, maybe 2010.
Yeah.
And you said to me, just watch. The devil is not going to give up until he has Strowman right there in that pulpit preaching. And at the time, it looked far-fetched.
Oh, yeah, to myself.
That's like 10, 15 years back. At the time back then, it looked pretty far-fetched. But when I saw that starting to happening, I said to you, you know what you said, 10, 15 years ago is actually now happening. He has Strowman preaching in his pulpit, the very man that God had to deal with through Brother Branham. Through Brother Jackson. He had to deal with him because he was bringing in false doctrine. And then the very man Tim Relaford brought into his pulpit. Like I said, we do not like to deal with these things and talk about these people. But see, the Spirit of God is so grieved at what is going on in what God has done in this hour that he brings it to our remembrance. Mm-hmm. And he brings it and he wants us to speak on it, not because we want to speak on these, speak about these people.
That's because we want to destroy them.
It's because we care. And it's when you care about people, you expose the wrong and bring it to light so people can realize, you know, how serious this is in the eyes of God.
Strowman, he's a first-class bum. Because back in the day when he was here, Steve Yarsh took him with him there. Like, he was here for a convention. Steve Yarsh took him with him to a place where he does business. So he went to his place where he does business, and Ralph Strowman was with him. He just took him along, just because...
Out of courtesy,
just to visit with him. Mm-hmm. But he takes him along to the place he does business with. So for some reason, the guy that he does business with, and Peter Yard, they had to go into the back, and here was Strowman by himself in the office. Well, when that man came back, he noticed his calculator was gone. So the next day he called up Steve Yard. You know that guy that you had here? When I came back, my calculator was gone. What the low down guy did, just out of hospitality, he took him along, and what he did, when he was gone from the office, he reached over and stole that guy's calculator. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of bump. And then he goes out and preaches and pretend he's this holy guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that Tim Relaford is having in his pulpit. And they all know about that because Steve Yarsh told it to everybody. And they all know that he's a thief. He's the lowest of the low, you know. And I could go...
And Brother Jackson told him, he said, when I first met you, you didn't have two pennies to rub together. See, he comes from Norway. Mm-hmm. He comes from Norway, and he's supposed to be a preacher. And see, that's what these Europeans do. They come here and they expect people to wine them and dine them.
And they give him his credit card. Mm-hmm. Give him a credit card from Faith Assembly, and he gave him the van to just when he comes here, he can just have at her. And what he did, he used his credit card, bought all his people over from Norway. They didn't even go to church, and they were staying in motel, and he was paying for things with the credit card when he was driving around, and the food and everything, and stealing until he had to put his foot down. Mm-hmm. And he's a first-class thief, and now Tim Relaford knows all that stuff, and he's having him this next week, and he's having him down in his pulpit.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. For the weekend or what?
Maybe just one day. I don't know. But I just know that God, in a sovereign ways, has ways that he does it. And his ways are righteous. You read the Psalms and you find out the righteousness and the precepts and the principles of God. and how David loved him in Psalms 119. And throughout the Bible, you can learn the things that he loves. And when you read the book of the Chronicles and Kings, and when these wicked kings and what they did to make them wicked in the eyes of God, and what they did to make them good and upright in the eyes of God. There are requirements and there's things, but letting people into your pulpit, and it's not even your pulpit.
It's a God's pulpit. It is. You're responsible for it.
That's right. It's God's pulpit, and you're responsible, and you're bringing in teachings that are corrupted, and that's what you're doing, and God does not appreciate that.
That's why it's come down to nothing. That's why the Lord took it out, because back in the day, when Brother Brennan was here, we talk about those wheels within the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I read about it in Ezekiel. And just to clarify up, those wheels within the wheels is where the presence of God has been throughout history, you know, throughout the 6,000 years. These wheels within the wheels, they were always somewhere. Mm-hmm. Back in the days of, they were back in the temple of Jerusalem. But then when the children went into exile, there's wheels within the wheel, they moved down to the river Ephar. You can read it over in Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw them down at the river, because now the children, they're in exile. Mm-hmm. They were not up in Jerusalem anymore. They moved wherever the Spirit of God was. These wheels moved. And like I say, they've been somewhere throughout history. These wheels within the wheel is the presence of God within that place and within that area. And like I say, they were in the temple, then they moved down to the river. But we're talking about now when Brother Brenham, he was that church age pastor, they were down at the tabernacle, those wheels within the wheels. You can read about the power and the angels and the cherubim, were that the majesty of God. And then when Brother Brenham went out to see, these wheels within the wheels, they moved over to Faith Assembly. And then for 3 years after Brother Jackson left, they were still there, but they were waiting for Alan and Bud to do the right thing while they did the wrong thing. And then these wheels within the wheel, they moved over to Grace and Truth. I seen them. I was here praying one morning, and I seen these wheels down there at Grace and Truth. And then and they were there until Penn began to let these people in his pulpit. And those wheels, they were very disturbed. And they just, one day, I just seen them. They just went up and they moved out of Grace and Truth. They're not there anymore, even though Tim thinks they are, but they're not. They moved down, and you know where they're at? They're just right out here. Out there, then, just when we started up moving in here, the Lord told us to put up the lighthouse. That's where the wheels within the world, that's where the presence of God is. From here, it just goes out all over the world, and that's why the Lord has hauled you and I out to hold on to this truth. That's what we're doing 24/7. That's the only job description that you and I have, to hold on to the truth, to the fact that God sent the prophet. That's the only place you'll hear. And then on the heels of him, that word begin, he will begin with Brother Brenham, and he continue with Brother Jackson. And the Brenhamites, they don't want to hear that. But that's why he called out you and I out to hold the present, to hold the line on this truth. And here we're just holding on the line of this truth, and we're telling people exactly what's going on. You can take it or leave it, because we can't twist anybody's arm. We can't force people into believing what we're saying. But I tell you what, if you believe what we're telling you, you're going to have an escape route to get out of this hell that's coming. Like I say, you don't want your worst enemy to be here when that rapture happens and you're still down here having to go through that tribulation and everything that comes with it. That's why we're putting all our resources. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we get up early in the morning so we can stay in touch with reality. That's why we're warning people for the last 10, 15 years what's coming. Putting everything that we have and do into warning people what is coming. It's just the only job description we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying our level best to warn people what what's going on out there. And like I say, Laodicea spewed out, it's over with Laodicea. The only thing that's left is the ministry of William Branham and Raymond M. Jackson to dress you, to give you that gold tried in the fire, to dress you so that you don't stand naked when the Lord Jesus comes and he comes through and looking through the guests and everything. You just got to have that ministry. Otherwise, there is nothing left in this world. Everything out there, it's just going out to the lake of fire, out to hell and death when the destruction comes. That's why these wars and these rumors of war, everything that's going on in the world today, just behind it is the Spirit of God. The scripture is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And, people are so careless, just like that song here says, they don't care about what the God is doing. They just sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
See, you want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and realize the seriousness, Lord, of going against your word, Lord, and things that you have firmly established, and realize that there is an enemy out there that's set to destroy. So we just pray, Lord, that we walk humbly before you and be sober and vigilant and be aware of the enemy's tactics, so that we can uphold what you brought in this hour and keep walking close to you, and so we can be led and guided by your Spirit. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.